Morning, church. Good afternoon, church. You never seem to know the time. I'm excited about that, because I'm longing for the time when we will not count time by years. Thank the youth choir for the lovely singing. Make me want to be young again. You never know how wonderful it is to be young until you reach my age. It's exciting. So what I do a lot to remember my youth. I try to reminisce, but I can't even remember when I was 40, you know. But as I look on you, I just say to myself, you know, I think I was as young as you once. And I give God thanks. So I'm looking forward to the time when we won't count time by years. I was told that the theme for this week is managing relationships. Did you know that? Some of you don't know one thing. So I'll have to teach you today. So I got to understand that we are talking about managing relationships. So I want to talk a little, I want us to more than talk a little bit about that today. But it is so nice to be at Andrew's again. At least once a year I make a journey to Andrew's. This is the first one for the year. I've come to I said this is the first one. I said at least once a year. This is the first one. So you never know. What they say, what strikes or doesn't strike at one place twice. Lightning? Yeah, lightning might just strike. You never know what happens. It's so nice to see you today, Sister Golden. I'm glad, always glad to see you. You're always in my prayers. And then I look and see some faces. Elder Morgan. It's so nice. You're as dapper. You must tell me when the other thing there is coming up. But we'll talk after church about that. If we are going to talk about togetherness, I don't remember this song too well, but I'm going to sing it. And I'm going to want you to say this with me. Let's do it together. Let's have more fun. Let's do it together. Let's live, work as one. Yeah, let's work as one. Yeah. Okay, now, this side is saying, some of you over here have locked jaw. I don't want no lockjaw Christians here today. Say it after me. Let's do it together. Let's work. Let's have more fun. Let's do it together. Let's work. Live. Hey, you're giving me mixed signals down there. So we're gonna change course now. And live as one. All right. And this is what I'm gonna want you to sing with me. Something like this. Let's do it together. Let's have more fun. Let's do it together. Let's live as one. Come on, we're going to then. Let's do it together. Let's have more fun. Let's have more fun. Let's do it together. Let's do it together. Let's live as one. Let's live as one. I'm going to try to do that. God could have done it alone. He never really needed any help. He could have made the sun, moon, and earth and stars, the sea and all of the clouds. Something like that. He never really needed any help. Something like that. But he did something else instead. He called his son and his angels, and this is what he said. Sing it with me now, come on. Let's do it together. Let's have more fun. Let's have more fun. Oh yes. Let's do it together. Let's live as one. Let's live as one. Sing it again. Let's do it together. Let's have more fun. Let's do it together. Let's live as one. No, mom could have lived all alone. My dad could have lived all alone. And I think mom could have too. And I am big enough to make it on my own. We could have said, I don't need you. And Billy could have not had a home, something like that. But he did something else instead. We put our heads together, and this is what we said. Sing it with me, let's do it together. Let's have more fun. Let's do it together. Let's live as one. Sing it again, let's do it together. Let's have more fun. Let's do it together. Let's live as one. Now moms and dad, when you're mad and you don't know what to do, before you start a fight, I have advice for you. Remember before you go and you do something terribly wrong, say to each other, I love you, and sing this little song. Let's do it together. Let's have more fun. Let's do it together. Let's live as one. One more time. Let's do it together. Let's have more fun. Yeah, let's do it together. Let's live as one. I wanted to give this, thanks Pastor, my deliberation topic, and I said I'm going to call it, name it, Why Can't We Be Like Storybook Children? And that's the first one came up. Why can't we be like storybook children? And I said, you know, these brethren might like, see, I'm talking blues. Then I said, then I will give it another name. I will say, backslide proof your relationship. How to backslide proof your relationship. And I think some people won't like the word back. So I say, let me get something else. So I'm proposing this on a book that I am currently writing on family life. So I share it with Andrews. If I said it here before, you're going to get it again. My house, like God's house. My house, like God's house. And so I was so happy my beautiful little girlfriend read it so nicely with the rest of us. My house, like God's house. Shall we pray? Father, open to us meaningful ways in which we can relate as how you'd like us to relate, live as how you'd like us to live, be the people you want us to be. So we'll be ready at your coming to live with you eternally, we pray in Jesus' name. I'm going to talk about the church. As Ellen White says in the book Testimony Treasures, Volume 3, I read this. Listen to this. Church. She says, the church of God below is one with the church of God above. And this hit me. She says, believers on the earth and the beings in heaven who have never fallen constitute one church. She says, every heavenly intelligence is interested in the assemblies of saints who on earth meet to worship God. In the inner court of heaven, they listen to the testimony of the witnesses for Christ in the outer court on earth. And the praise and the thanksgiving from worshipers below is taken up in the heavenly anthem, and praise and rejoicing sown through the heavenly courts. So heaven and earth are not far apart after all. And when you read the book Education, and then White said, when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he spoke as if heaven was very clear, very near to earth. As if the distance was very close, the future was very close to the present. And that is how we ought to live. Heaven and earth are not that far. The church is the outer court, and heaven is the inner court. It means then that the church has got to live like heaven, or else we are talking of another court. And she says the home is to be a symbol of heaven. So the home and the church and heaven are not distant, are not far apart. Hear what she says. There is nothing more needed in the work than the practical results of communion with God. We, Volume 2 of that Testimony Treasures, page 102. We should show by our daily lives that we have peace and rest in God. Communion with God will impart a moral elevation to the character and to the entire course of action. Men will take knowledge of us as of the first disciples
that we have been with Jesus. So she says, let us show in our lives what the truth has done for us. Perhaps if the church were a class, were a classroom, perhaps we'd get an F, you know. F for relationships. F for relationships. Why do I say that? She says Satan is playing the game of life for every soul. He knows that practical sympathy is a test of the purity and unselfishness of the heart. And he, the devil, will make every possible effort to close our hearts to the needs of others, that we may finally be unmoved by the sight of suffering. He will bring in many things to prevent the expression of love and sympathy. It is thus that he ruined Judas. Judas was constantly planning to benefit self. In this, he represents a large class of professed Christians today. Therefore, we need to study his case. You know, I was in one of my classes. A student asked and said, Pastor. Not pastor anymore. Teacher. I'm teacher now. You weren't there. I'm telling you what they said. Don't tell me what. But you're right. Why did Adam not let Eve go alone for destruction, since he wasn't deceived? And I was telling him, let me tell you something. Adam lived. Adam, and I had to go down. Why did Adam not? He knew Eve was going to die, and he never had to. Why he did not? And let me tell you something. When God made man in his image. Adam didn't know how to lie. Adam didn't know how to steal. Adam didn't know how to connive. Adam didn't know how to be selfish. He didn't know how to be filled with envy and jealousy. Adam didn't know those things. Adam didn't know anything about divorce. So he could not allow Eve to leave. And that is what Jesus was saying to the people when he spoke on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, divorce is not a part of God's plan. It was not so in the beginning. And he said, just as how Adam couldn't divorce Eve, so I could not divorce you. I had to give my life to save you. When you strayed, I could not let you go. So that's why I came chasing you to down the cross to save you. Because I'm a God of covenant and I'm a God of relationships. And so, God said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. You see, God has a house, not a big house. Some of you wouldn't want to live in it. too small. It's just what my mother would call room and hall. Two apartments. God said, Moses, I'm going to give you a model house. I want you to make it for me. And it must not be a resort. It's not for rent. It's a dwelling house I want. Make me a sanctuary that I may what? Dwell is a dwelling house I want. And he said, I'm giving you specifications for everything. And if you read it from Exodus chapter 25, you will find that God started to describe his house from the inside out. We take our people from the outside in, but God does his thing from the inside out. And that's how God deals with us. He deals with us from the inside out. We look at people from the outside in. But he checks it the other way around. But I'm going to take it from the outside in though. God's house, Ellen White says, the first law of heaven is order. The first law of heaven is order. Do you have order in your house? Order. And he set up everything orderly. And God says that. Entering God's house, there's a door. If you don't come through the door, you're a thief or a robber. You must come through the door. So you go through the door. And before you reach the first apartment, you have a courtyard. But you know what? All around God's house, he has it fenced around. All around is a fenced boundary. Boundary. And he fenced it and he put curtains so that you can't stay outside and see everything going on. If you want to know what's happening in God's house, you have to come inside there. You know, some people you can stay outside and see everything they're cooking in the kitchen. Maybe country. But some people. And some people out the road know what's happening inside there even before they happen. Not so in God's house. God's house has boundaries. And it has curtains all around. It has some privacy. Does your house have any privacy? Does your house have any boundary? Any Dick, Tom, and Harry can come inside anytime, anywhere, anyhow. But then, because I don't have all day to speak about this, I'm going to cut some of it short in righteousness. When you come in God's house, you dare not come empty-handed. Every time you come, you must bring an offering. Every time you come, you must bring an offering. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Because there was what they call an altar. First object you come up on before you reach his house would be an altar. And that altar was for intrapersonal work, intrapersonal work, where a man would have to take a good look at himself, examine himself first before you come inside, and see what is wrong with you. Some of us, the first place as you enter is the carport. Well, let me say, the altar here was God's carport. C for confession. Before you touch God's house, you had to come. After you check yourself, you have to confess. A, you have to accept. R, you have to repent. Confess your sins. Accept your fault. Repent. At the altar. That's your intrapersonal work. Do you do that? Do you have an intrapersonal work at your home where you can examine yourself to see where you are wrong and accept your fault and repent? Say, I'm not doing it again. Intrapersonal work must be done when you come to God's house. And you got to review your past, and you got to bring your offering. Listen. Your sin offering. What are other offering? Thank offering. What other offering? Drink offering. What other offering? Peace offering. What other offering? Listen, brother, don't let me have anything. But it's a good offering. It's a good offering. Come on now. Peace offering. Drink offering. They have one they call burnt offering. They have another one that they call burnt offering. And that offering must be burnt. Burnt. Everything burnt. There are some of the offerings you have to take a piece and eat, and so that one must be totally burnt. You know, does your house have some burnt offering, or are you burn a piece and keep a piece? And like my mother, I might have done something, and my mother beat me. And 3 more months, 4 months, I did something like that. Boy, you remember what you did get? And she keeps calling me, telling me way back, don't. She don't burn up the thing, man. She don't burn the thing, man. The thing is still alive. The thing is still alive. There are some things that we must burn. Never remember. Be forgot. I don't sell any food, you know. Never remember. Never remember. You're not bringing it up again at all. At that altar. Burn it. Does your house have a burnt offering? A place for burnt offering? Right at that altar, there was also what they call trespass offering. Trespass offering. Does your house have a place for trespass offering? Well, God had a house. And do you know what happened? Can bring it there 3 times a day. Morning, afternoon, and evening. You can bring them there. God's house. Because you see, God's house deals with interpersonal intelligence. Listen, interpersonal intelligence. God's house deals with that. You know, this is the next big thing they're coming about with Daniel Goleman talking about emotional intelligence. And if you're not emotionally intelligent, really you're not intelligent. And they are saying the persons who are successful in life now are not the people with IQ, are the people with EQ. They're saying, there was a time when he said, oh, if you are, you have high IQ, you will be successful. They're saying, no, it's not the people with high IQ. It's the people with the EQ, emotional quotient. It's the people who can get along with other people. They really last. And they're saying, now, don't watch the people who say they have all A's, and also, you watch the people. It's the people with the C grade are employing the people with the A grade. Because they know how to get along well with other people. God's house has not only intrapersonal intelligence, but interpersonal intelligence. Because when you come here to God's house with your trespass offering or your sin offering, God comes out and say, I forgive. I hear you. I listen to you. I listen to you. I hear you. I forgive you. Because God's house has a great line of communication. You know, I was coming on the highway this morning and I saw a nice billboard say, speaks about prayer. The original cordless. The original wireless connection. Listen, God empathizes. And there are some of us who don't know how to empathize, don't know how to forgive. Does your house have a place for empathy? Does your house have a place for sympathy? Does your house have a place for forgiveness? Does your house have a place where, with a listening heart? Does your house have a place where it can confront unacceptable behavior? Well, God had a place in his house to confront unacceptable behavior and relate to it. God's house has a place for dialogue, not debate. Not debate. Dialogue, not debate. God's house had a communication line open 24/7. Not a farthing. Does your house have open communication? When you get, after you pass this altar, where every day you bring something in. Every day you bring something there. Every day you bring some thanks. Every day you bring some praise. Every day. You know, I heard one sister quarrel with her husband. She said to her husband, she lived on a hill overlooking the sea, and she said to her husband, when last have you said to me you love me? And he got upset and he went through the door and he called her and he said, every time you see the sea, remember I love you. Kindness. Let me say it. It's not so the thing works. The thing doesn't work like that. And I have been saying to the people, I said, listen, no man, if you are going to go into a motor car business, you must know something about motor car. If you are going to go into a construction business, you must know the difference between sand and cement, man. And I am saying, people, if people are going to go into people's business called marriage, you must know something about it before you go into it, man. And a husband needs to know that a woman likes to hear. Yeah. So you got a... A woman likes to hear, "I love you." What she might know. A woman loves to hear that. And the women need to know that a man likes to see. Boy, what are you clapping your hand for? What do you know about this thing? What do you know about? But if you're going into the business of human relationship, especially marriage, there are fundamental things you'll have to know and practice, put in operation. And God has done that. There are some things you must begin to do daily. Do every day. Because man is a creature of habit. And if you begin to do some things daily, it becomes natural afterwards. Your second nature. And I want to say to church, except we make forgiveness and sympathy and genuine love and care become our second nature, we and Satan done it with the three-teeth fork. We and the devil with that pitchfork down hell. We cannot be saved because God hates sin. And if we don't, by His grace, get rid of these envy and these malice and these jealousy and these evil speaking and these divorce habits, because in a lot of cases, divorce has become a lifestyle for some. You know, I went to a church in England. I'm not calling name because some of you might have relatives right here. And I went to this church. And this brother was so elated. He said, "Pastor, come and meet my wife." And so he took me and showed me. And he said, "Come again." And this was my wife. In the same church, you know. In the same church. She was my wife. The lady just turned ashen. He was very excited. I almost said, "Man, are you a rooster?" But sometimes the Lord just soap my mouth. When you come into God's house, there are three articles in the first apartment. Three articles in the first apartment. There is a table with showbread. And everything here has to do with Jesus Christ. And the table with showbread represents Jesus Christ, the bread of life, to be eaten. And Ellen White says, just as how when we eat physical bread, that becomes blood and bone and brain, so when we eat the Word of God, it becomes our character. You know, but our church has become so sophisticated. In the 1960s, the literati, the church, when we used to have to study, every morning, watch 7 of them, and have to come to church and know 7 for the week. And then when 13 Sabbath come, we have to say 13. So we might not know what that means. They say, but every Adventist in the year before you go to West Indies College, you know over 400 Bible verses out of your mind. Them days were days when an Adventist walked, and people used to fret for Adventists because every Adventist was a walking Bible. They just quote text like that and verse and everything like that or out of King James. Now they have so many they don't even know what one of them say, and you don't even know his trick. Listen, eat the word of God, you will become what it is putting inside of you. Then the burden come, some intellectual come and say, oh, I don't think we need to study those and memorize them. All we have to do is understand them. And I have a book reading on the man that the progress. He just wants to understand. I don't know if you're going to understand what you don't know. Just understand. And then they drop the thing, Sabbath school, drop the thing in AY. And they come. So they come and say, our Sunday stacks, Ezekiel band. Monday stacks, Samuel's band. Tuesday's text, Holder's band. And then give each band one text. And then when they come in Sabbath afternoon in the AY and say, Ezekiel band, will you please stand and repeat your verse? Your text? Ezekiel band, stand up. Some of them stand up. Some of them sit down. Nobody knows it. Will you please read it? And I read it. And then after they read it, say amen, church. Shut your mouth. Don't say one blessed thing. I tell you, if that is how Jesus knew the Bible, this devil will run him through and through in the wilderness. Run him through and through. Eat God's word. Let me tell you one of the truth. I have never met on a couple with trouble and ask them whether they have been studying the Bible and praying together, and they say yes. I'm telling you the truth. Every couple I have, and I stop coupling them now though, but every one of them that I have met with problems, none of them have worshiped together. You can't feed on the word of the Lord and don't be changed. Something must stick inside your mind. Must stick inside your mind. Eat on God's word. Feed on God's word. Food was in God's house. And then the next table was a candlestick. 7 candlestick. If you take a look at God's house, it wasn't until he then built the temple that light from the sun came in. And they took it from the heathen. In the house that God gave to Moses, no light from outside came in. The only light was the light. No, let me put it this way. No natural light came in. The only light that was inside the first apartment was a candlestick representing Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And any time natural light comes inside the house, is there we have trouble. You know who is paying this mortgage? You know who is paying this bill? You know who owns this? You know, every time natural light gets inside the house falls. You know who is it this? Who is it this and that in the house? Although my wife knows what I am in there. Tell her, cause I've just put her in her place, you know. Put her in her place. Hello, I tell you the truth. I am rearranging and fixing up the inside of the house. You understand? She says, go out into the yard. Inside here is me. I'm the queen inside here. Go out inside the yard. So, since that day, I become the yard boy.
Now, I don't quarrel. I go outside there and I make my garden how I want them. She comes out.
I said, go back inside there.
Go back inside there. I am boss out here.
Listen, when natural light begins to take over in your house, you don't have any house. The only light that should be shining in your house is the light of Jesus. Then I got it wrong. Then the next step is the altar of incense, which represents the prayers of the saints. The prayers as they ascend. Is there a place in your house where prayer ascends as sweet incense to the skies? Well, there was one in God's house. I want my house to be like God's house. I want my house to be like God's house. And then I got to run, because there is after your part, that veil. Next, God had a lot of veils. And after you pass that altar of that burnt altar, and then you get yourself washed in the laver, because you have to get yourself clean before you get in God's house. Dirt can't get in God's house. And when you come inside and you finish here, and listen, one day a year, the high priest would go into this part. And in the second part, there was just one article called the Ark of the Covenant. And when the priest comes inside this second part, you know that was a special day called the Day of Atonement. Oh, on the Day of Atonement, everybody had to make their wrongs right. It was time for reconciliation. Everybody had to clean up. In God's house, he had a day when everybody had to get it all together. Does your house have a day at atonement? If your house had a day of atonement called the Day of Atonement, then I say divorce would be nil amongst us. Your house, when it gets a day of atonement, wife and husband, children and parents can come together and have their wrongs right. And God has made things in such a way. Let me tell you, God has made things in such a way. You see, I asked Dr. Rutherford, when it is said that when your bone breaks, wherever it is broken, when it is healed, it is stronger than anywhere else in your body. It is stronger than any other part of you when it gets back healed. Some of us don't know the power of healing. Let me tell you something. When man sinned, God said, I'm going to save you. But that salvation which we shall be saved is more substantive than that which Adam and Eve had before they sinned. Come on. We are going to be in a better place when Jesus comes than where Adam and Eve were before they sinned. Because had Adam and Eve reached a certain place, a certain point in obedience to God, they would live forever. They were still in a conditional living state. That's why when we get over there, we are going to be getting eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, we are going to be where Adam wanted to be. We will be wearing this corruption. We'll put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. Let us get over back into the third place and run off a course. But in the ark, at the side of the ark were the laws of Moses. At the side of the ark, and the laws of Moses had a lot of festivals, feasts of Passover, feasts of unleavened bread, feasts of tabernacles called booths, whole heap of feasts, you know. Do you have any feasts at your house? Do you have any feasts in your house? As a matter of fact, some of us are so upset with Tuesday coming, we don't even want to hear them call the name Valentine. We are very upset. We are so Christian. We are so Christian. We know it is pagan. We know it has nothing to do with the Bible, spirit of prophecy, and all that. And we don't want to hear a word about it. Some of us don't want to hear a word about it because you don't want to buy a red rose to give your wife. That's the reason. You are so worthless and low down. You don't even want to buy a little candy bar. That's why you don't want to hear anything about it. But when you get into God's house, listen, you ask some husband, when did you get married? They don't remember. When is your wife's birthday? They don't remember. I remember my wife's birthday, although she's not getting anything, but I remember it. She's not forgetting anything. I remember it. No, listen. How can you have a house and you don't remember any anniversary? Not God. He remembered the Passover. And he said you must keep it every time. You must have some times of refreshing. God is a God of history. God is a God of memory. Look inside. He said, you must not forget when you came out of Egypt. That's at the side. And let us go inside now. When you go inside, He has inside a law called Ten Commandments. We call it so, but it is a law of love. It's God's love law. Now, here is where God sits down. This is God's throne. Inside, He's got the love law. Love yourself. Love your fellow men. Love me. Love me. Love your fellow men. Love yourself. The Ten Commandments. Inside there. And on top of that, was a place called where he sat. The law of love, the law of justice, the law of judgment. He put the mercy seat on top of that. Do you have a mercy seat at your house? Is there a mercy seat? Is there a love law inside your house? And it's there the Shekinah glory of God shines. There's where His Shekinah glory, where the angels look over. Is there such a place in your house where men can confess their sins and be forgiven? Where men can know that justice and righteousness kiss together, mercy and truth hug up each other? That's what God's house is like. God says, make this house like the one in heaven, because the church is the outer court and heaven is the inner court, and the home is a symbol of heaven, both outer and inner. Oh, brother, you got to get it right. God has given us a model to work with. A model to work with.
that I want my house to be like God's house. It's not there yet. Not there yet. It's not there yet. Because sometimes Jesus doesn't envelop everywhere. And until Jesus envelops everywhere, it's not that like that God's house is. Mercy, truth, righteousness, empathy, forgiving, forgetting some things, remembering them no more. Wow. That's the love of God. It's a love house. It's a love house. And I want my house to be like that house. What about you? Anybody wants to have your house like God's house, a place for worship, a place for praise, a place for character development? Second to none, like unto. You know, we only sing. I'm going to sit down now. But I'd say, we like to sing. And I'm telling you, we must stop just sing. I tell you, some people don't even know what they sing. But listen, they say the time to be happy is, and the place to be happy is. Hold on. Some people believe that the way to be happy is to have a big bank account. Hold on. Some people believe the way to be happy is to be head of the land. Some people believe the way to be happy is to have your name all over the world. Some people believe the name to be happy is where you live and what you drive. And people lose it. They lose it. And that's why some of them millionaires and all kind of ears up there. No. And you see some of them, when you see them on TV, or they're smiling, you don't even know what making them smile. Drugs. The way to be happy is to make others happy and to have a little heaven down here. And let me tell you. And I warn you, church, I'm warning you again, that heaven has to begin here and now in your home, in your church. The principles of heaven must be practiced here and now in your home, in your church. If we intend to get there, because when we get to heaven, you know, we're not going to have surprises. You know. No. It's how we were living down here, we're going to continue there. You understand? Which means that some people really not going to go up there because the mouth don't belong to them. How about us? So, brother, let's do it together. Let's have more fun. Let's do it together. Let's live as one. And then Ellen White said, you know, some of us don't like certain people. But she says that God has put certain people with us inside the church to rub down. To rub down and rub off certain qualities that can't befit us for the kingdom. Love's divine. All love's excellent. Joy of heaven to earth come down. God help us not to let Satan play with our souls as he played with Judas's soul and won. But that today we will go forth and construct our house as a model of his, with a place for burnt offering and sin offering and trespass offering and
thank offering.
Or sometimes we don't even support one another with a little positive stroking.
Thank offering.
Sometimes my wife cooks and she cooks. She's one of the best cooks all around. And, you know, sometimes the fire plays a little joke with it. Fire. Sometimes I just curse the fire or somebody. But you just say the rice was barbecued and you enjoy yourself. Well, you thank her. You thank her for many things. Yeah. We must learn. The thing is, she put so much effort in the thing for it to burn. You got to. Sometimes she was so tired. She'd come home tired. Both of you tired. And one of you sit down and watch the TV. And she's gone there. Listen. Give gratitude. Give gratitude. And so why not let us take another good look at her face of your spouse and say, you know, I love you. I love you. I thank you. I appreciate you. Why not? And if something went wrong, why not? We can work it out. Why not? We can work it out. But I come back and then I say, why can't we be like storybook children? Reason why we can't be like storybook children. One of them is, the script for the storybook children are written, and Red Riding Hood follows that script right to the T. Red Riding Hood would not deviate from that script that was written. That's why she said, Mom, you got long teeth. Grandma, you got long. And that's why she went inside there, because she would never deviate from. Snow White would never deviate from the script. And so the whole story comes out beautiful. Cinderella never ran away from her script. She kept her script. And so the story is beautiful. And if Christians would go by the script that God has given them, what a beautiful, we would be like storybook children. What do you say about that? God help that you and I, God help that we would follow his ways, walk in his laws, and be his storybook children. So when the courts of heaven shall ring, and we shall begin to sing, angels have to back and listen to us sing. For they can never share the joy our salvation brings. May that be your experience, and mine is my prayer in Jesus' name.